Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your love. We love you. We love you because you first loved us. And oh, how much you loved us, putting into action your love for us, Lord, by coming here, humbling yourself to be a man, living out a perfect life, which, as we all know, is not easy to do because we all fail. Yet Jesus did not fail. He resisted temptation even to blood. And I don't think any of us here have done that. So thank you, Jesus, for resisting temptation and then sacrificing yourself for us, Lord, paying the price for our sin, because you knew we couldn't do it. You knew that we couldn't resist like you were able to do. We love you and we thank you and we pray that you would speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a PowerPoint tonight and I'm titling this message, Rely Upon the Lord, and that's the exhortation, is to rely upon the Lord. My family's been in a state of going through some times of mourning. My grandmother is on the screen here, and that's Abigail right next to her and Ginger next to Abby. So Ginger and Abby are in college right now. Ginger's at Marietta, Abby's in Israel. And that's my grandma, who's passed away, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago? Something like that. Something like 7 years ago. But her favorite verse was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And the Lord has been bringing this verse up with us for the last few days and led me to kind of open off with this verse. So let's read it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. What a beautiful, wonderful verse. Two verses, actually, 5 and 6. And just knowing that we can trust God. God's the only thing in this world that we can truly trust with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. And my wife and I have been leading Grief Share on Tuesday nights, and that's been a blessing. And that's why we haven't been coming on Wednesday nights, because we have our family time on Wednesday nights. But I took the day off today, and so I could be with you guys. Blessed to be here. So the Lord has just been teaching us again to just fully trust in him and rely upon him. If you've been to a funeral before, you know you've mourned with the mourners. And so that's what our ministry has been for a while now on Tuesday nights, as we've been entering into a period of mourning with others in the body of Christ. And it's been a real blessing. But this is a verse that is awesome to be able to just always go back to the Lord and to point people to the Lord, point people to Jesus in their mourning process. So also in my personal devotions, I've been going through 2 Chronicles. So what you see here on the screen, and for those of you in the back, the font might be a little too small, but this shows the kings that are laid out in the book of Chronicles. Of course, King Saul was the first king, and he's not on here because he's not in 2 Chronicles. And then David, and then after David came Rehoboam, and Rehoboam's the first one on this chart. And he was an evil king. He did not trust in the Lord. And then comes Abijah, and he was an evil king, and he did not trust in the Lord. And then thirdly, on the chart here, you see King Asa. And he was a good king, and he trusted in God. And then, of course, this top band is kings that really led revival in Israel. So you can see there some of the kings that led revival. But tonight, we're going to talk about King Asa, the good King Asa. So we'll be in 2 Chronicles, starting in chapter 14. And it's interesting, what really jumped out at me is going through the story of King Asa, is we'll see the word rely come up in talking about King Asa. And it just, the Lord struck my heart with that word, to rely. And it's a little different than trust. It's similar. When we trust in the Lord, we often come to a place of relying on Him. But it's not the same. To rely is a little deeper. And I looked it up in the dictionary, just for affirmation. And to rely is to depend upon or be dependent. And sometimes it takes swallowing your pride to put you into that position, the position of not being independent. Since we're born, really, our parents nurture us and encourage us to a place of being independent from our parents, and we mature and we grow, but we never want to be in the place of independence when it comes to God. We always want to be fully depending upon Him and relying upon Him and not seeing ourselves as self-sufficient, because we are not self-sufficient. We are all flawed, and God made us that way. He made us to rely upon Him. And Jesus modeled that for us. He was so often in prayer and seeking God as He lived out the example of what we are to live out in prayer and coming to God for the answers to the questions in our life and for the strength we need in our life and for that encouragement. So King Asa. If you remember, after King David, Rehoboam, he didn't do such a great job, and he didn't make some good political moves, and really it was all according to God's will, and the kingdom split to northern Israel and then Judah in the south. And so Rehoboam was in the south, and then Israel was in the north. So moving forward, that was something that was perpetuated across for the rest of the kings. And so King Asa was a king in the south, in Judah, and then King Baasha was in the north. So let's begin reading about King Asa. I ran out of, you know, the plastic water bottles, so I grabbed this nice, classy, glassy water bottle. Okay, chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah. And the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said to Judah, "Let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side." So they built and prospered, And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin, 280,000 men, who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. So we have this great army. He had the blessing of the Lord upon him, and there was peace and rest in the first 10 years of his reign. He tore down the idols. He destroyed the high places. He cleaned up shop because his father before him was a wicked king and allowed all kinds of idolatry into the kingdom. So by the leading of God, he just really cleaned house and he destroyed all the evil idols that were in the kingdom. And God just really blessed that nation because they were seeking God. Verse 9. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Mersha. So they are greatly outnumbered by this Ethiopian army. If you remember from the previous verses here, he had 300,000 men from Judah and 280,000 men from Benjamin. So for you math majors, that's 580,000 men. So they were outnumbered 2-1. I guess you don't have to be a math major to know that, huh? Imagine that, 1,000,000 men. I think the stadium holds maybe 50,000 or something. I'm not sure if anybody knows exactly, but at some point they rebuilt the Angel Stadium, so I think it's around there, though. So if you can imagine an army of 1,000,000 men coming against you, and they had a whole bunch of chariots as well, 300 chariots. And back then, a chariot was like a tank. It was a huge military advantage. So, wow, that would be really scary. So Asa, what did he do? Verse 10. Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephatha at Mersha. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. So he's up against really bad odds, and what does he do but cry out to God? You might have heard the saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. Because when you have bullets going by or your life is threatened, people really come face to face with their mortality. And they realize life is frail, and they get right with God real quick. So hence the saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. So this was one of those places, but Asa was a godly king. And so he did the right thing, and he sought after God. He didn't lean upon his own strength or his own power. And so in our own lives, when we come against things that just seem too big for us, what's the right thing to do but come to God in prayer? And we seek him and we trust him. Going back to that verse we started with, trust in the Lord your God with all your heart. Don't look at the circumstances around you. If you look at the circumstances, you'll just melt in fear and trembling. But God is bigger, God is stronger, God is greater. So verse 12, so the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. So did you catch that in verse 12? The Lord struck the Ethiopians. I would love to be there to see what that meant. Doesn't really describe exactly what that means. And we know from the book of Joshua, God uses many different ways to fight against our enemies. And in that case, Joshua's enemies. At times he used creatures that would sting the enemy. At other times he turned back time. And he made time stand still, Joshua's 24-hour day, where it was light for a whole 24 hours. And he was able to fight the enemy. God uses many ways to fight. But here it just says God, the Lord struck the Ethiopians. And so, interesting. We'll have to ask in heaven, God, so how exactly did you strike the Ethiopians? Was it fire from heaven? Who knows? So the Ethiopians were overthrown and they could not recover. I'm in the middle of verse 13. For they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. So apparently they had a lot of wealth with them. It's funny that an army would carry all their wealth with them. I think you should leave that stuff at home just in case you lose. But hey, it turned out in their favor. They had a lot of spoil. They were able to steal a lot of stuff. Well, not steal. They were dead. So that's okay. Verse 14. Then they defeated all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and the camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. So it was a great defeat, and God really came through and fought for them. Praise be to God. So chapter 15, let's carry on here. Actually, I have a story to tell. Personal testimony. So we're talking about trusting in God here. And Asa trusted in God and relied upon God in this time when the odds were against him. And looking back, I was trying to think of a story I could tell in my own life of trusting in God, relying upon God. And 22 years ago, my wife and I were engaged, but we were talking about it today, and just God was so good because he told us that we're the ones for each other, and he showed that and confirmed it in us. And then he gave us a wedding date pretty early on, and it was October 1st, 1994. And in faith, we got engaged and we started planning our wedding. But I didn't have a job, a full-time job, and I hadn't graduated from college. But we serve God, right? We don't serve our cultural norms. We don't follow after the ways of man or the worldly philosophies. So we felt led and we followed after God, and we trusted in him and relied upon him. And we started planning our wedding, and God landed me a full-time job in the summer, and it was just a summer job. So again, we had to really trust in the Lord that he was going to continue to provide for us. And it was at AAA, and that position ended up turning into a permanent position for the first time. It used to be just a seasonal position. It was I was a routing specialist helping people with their vacations. So it used to be that was only a summer position, but for the first time, they decided to make it full-time. And so again, God just opened the doors. He did miracles. He provided for us. And we were just so extremely blessed to have trusted in him and relied upon him for his provision. So that was great. So this is 22 years ago. It was up in the desert. And that's Pastor Mark there right behind me. And that's Martinelli's, by the way. It's not champagne. What's that? Yes. That's when I asked her to marry me, up there at Keys View in Joshua Tree. So going back to King Asa, I'm actually in chapter 15. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. And if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time in Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law." So here the prophet is speaking of the kings before Asa. There was a long, dark period there where God was not glorified, and there wasn't a priest teacher that was being employed to teach the people. So ignorance was being spread in that time period until King Asa came. So this prophet is referring back to that period of time. And then verse 4, "But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." So there's this strong exhortation from the prophet of God to King Asa. And then in verse 8, "And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with him from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. For they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him." So if you remember, there's the kingdom in the north, which is Israel, and they were not seeking after God, and the king up north was wicked. So a whole lot of people that lived in northern Israel defected and came down to southern Israel to be with King Asa because they saw that he was a godly king and God was blessing them. So a testament and a testimony to that godly nation. And our country has seen that in the past, where so many have come to America because we've historically been a godly nation and a nation that's been blessed by God. And I pray that we continue that way. We're heading in the wrong direction, but we're still a nation that at least has God on our money. And then there's so many of us that love the Lord. And I just pray that there will be revival in our nation and that our nation will clearly be able to be called a nation that fears God. Yes, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name right now for revival in our nation, and that it wouldn't be like half and half the way it is right now, and then the steady decline that we see in the government and the laws and just troubling times. We just pray for an attitude of repentance, God. We pray that we won't need judgment upon us, Lord, for the sins and the atrocities being committed. We pray that we could just turn to you and serve you as a nation. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 10. "So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered to the Lord at the time 700 bulls, 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. So Asa, after this prophet came to him, he became very serious, even took it up a notch. He kind of took the second pass at destroying idols in the land. And he's really, really enforcing in a governmental type way people to seek after God. Verse 14, then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Beautiful. So that as one, that nation just sought after God with all their hearts, and they made a vow to the Lord to seek after him with all their hearts, to set aside the things that they had let creep into their culture. And may that be our vow tonight. As Christians, things creep into our lives. There's temptations all around us, especially in this nation. There's so much wealth. There's so many distractions. We're surrounded by entertainment. And sometimes entertainment itself can become an idol in our life. Sometimes wealth can become an idol in our life. Sometimes people can become an idol in our life. It's going to be different in each of us. So just the exhortation is to humble yourself before God and ask him, God, what is in my life that I'm putting too high? I want to lay that at your altar, and I want to put you first in my life. I want to destroy the idols in my life. So verse 16, also he removed Maacah, the mother of Asa. And in the Bible, when it says mother, they use a generic word that can also mean grandmother. In this case, it was his grandmother. So he removed her from being queen mother. So she had this political position of queen mother, and he removed her because she had made an obscene image, Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the rock Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So we see he's advancing in years, he's advancing in his ministry, and he continues to seek after God. And then let's continue on here in chapter 16. And this catches up with our slide here. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to the king of Judah. So the king of the north sets up a city to block all trade to Judah. And he's not letting people go in or out to Judah. And so obviously he's doing a political play here and not being nice. So verse 2, then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. Come break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. So Asa does a political move here with the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad. And he's relying on his own strength. He's relying on what he's learned as a political figure and as a king, and using the relationships of those around him to solve this problem. Now, it's not wrong for us to use our heads. It's not wrong for us to use the talents God's given us or the position he might have given you. But we see here that Asa didn't seek God first. So in the picture here, you see gold and silver getting loaded on camels and being sent to the king of Syria for the king of Syria to break his treaty with the north and to help out the south. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel, Maim, and all the storage cities of Naphtali. Now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. So he had success in this political move. Asa gave gold and silver to this wicked kingdom. By the way, Assyria was a wicked kingdom. And he got his way. But again, he didn't seek God for what he was to do in this time. So verse 7, and at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. So we see God's will was that that king of Syria would have been destroyed by King Asa. But he made a treaty with him. And he made friends with the real enemy and this wicked kingdom in order to get out of this problem. And it's so easy for us as believers, and it's not like Asa all of a sudden isn't a believer anymore or something like that. He loved the Lord, yet just like we can do, we can forget to seek God first. And when troubles come up in our life and we think we have the answer and we say, oh, I know how to solve this, I've got this. So the exhortation here is just, we need to rely on God. We need to seek him first. So verse 8, the prophet is speaking to King Asa, and he says, were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer, or the prophet, they use that word interchangeably sometimes in the Old Testament, and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at this time. So Asa gets mad, and he persecutes this prophet. And, don't kill the messenger, that expression. He was just the messenger of God. But Asa obviously was angry at God, because he did what he thought was right. And God rebuked him. And so he persecutes this prophet, and at the same time he ends up oppressing some of the other people. So it's a sad thing that happened there. Because he turned to worldly things and he did not rely upon God. So let's finish the chapter out. Verse 11, note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So again, he didn't seek God first. Then again, doctors aren't wrong. It's not wrong to go to physicians. Many times the Lord leads us to the right doctor. And you know, that's happened recently for us. But again, he didn't want to turn to God because he's angry at God at this point. At least that's what it seems like. Verse 13, so Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own tomb, which he had made for himself in the city of David. And they laid him in the bed, which was filled with spices and various ingredients prepared in a mixture of ointments. They made a very great burning for him. So it sounds like they burned him in this bed of spices, which maybe that has to do with the foot disease he had. I'm not sure why. Other kings were buried in tombs. Unless I'm misunderstanding in this, and the burning they're talking about is some type of bonfire of mourning. I'm not sure. But anyhow, that's all besides the point. Sadly, he did not turn to the Lord for healing, nor did he turn to the Lord for this victory. And he did not take that step of relying or being dependent upon God in that beautiful way that we see such blessings come out of that type of relationship that we have with the Lord when we fully rely upon him. So the exhortation here is to trust in the Lord, and we started with that scripture, to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And then even deeper, rely upon him, be dependent upon our Lord, our God. And then thirdly, to endure. Because we saw in King Asa, he did rely upon the Lord with the Ethiopians, but he did not rely upon the Lord when it came to a point in his life where he probably grew prideful after being a king for 36 years, and he saw a way of doing something in his own power. Where we saw in the example with the Ethiopians, the odds were against him, so it was a little easier for him to rely upon the Lord. So for us to remember to just endure and run this race and continue this race. My dad just turned 68 last week, and he was saying what it's a blessing to him to think about when he turns 70 in 2 years. He will be a senior pastor for 40 years. And he was just saying how neat that is. He was identifying with King David, who was king for 40 years. Not that he's going to die at age 70, but he's blessed that God has blessed his ministry here, and he's kept up the race. He's been running the race with endurance, and I'm so blessed with my dad's relationship with the Lord, and just to see that he's been steadfast in that, it's been a huge blessing. So the last thing here is to endure. And let's end with this scripture. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I love this so much. Such a beautiful exhortation. And it shows us how, right? Oftentimes we can say, oh, I know I need to do this. But again, we can't do it in our own power. We need to be relying on the Lord. So how do we run the race with endurance? How do we make sure that we don't make the same mistake as King Asa? Or when we do, we repent from it and come back to our first love with Christ? Well, to run the race with endurance, we lay aside every weight, those things that are tempting us. Those idols that might be in our house, put them aside. Cast them away. And the sin which so easily ensnares us, we repent from those things. We turn away from those things. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Isn't that the key? Looking unto Jesus. It's not by our own striving. It's not by our own strength. It's only by him. It's only by Jesus. And as we look to him, we're safe. We're safe. We don't need to worry and fear about, oh, what if I make that same mistake that Asa did? We don't need to worry like that. As long as we're just loving Jesus, following Jesus, seeking Jesus, that's the answer to every problem, right? And we just run with endurance. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We started with him. That moment of salvation where we said, God, I need you. Please forgive me of my sins. And then he was faithful to come in and forgive us and indwell within us. And he's the finisher of our faith. As we just endure in him and we walk in him and we can just trust in that. That we're just going to keep walking, and he's going to give us everything we need. He's going to equip us with all that we need to continue on this fight and on this race that we call life. Because he paid the price. Because he did what we couldn't do on that cross. And he's not dead, is he? He raised from the grave, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, as at the end of the scripture here. And he's there to make intercession for us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, so much for your word, for your love, for your exhortation. Thank you for Asa, who was a godly king and a good king. And he did so many good things through you. Yet we also pray that you would help us to learn from his mistakes and always seek you, God. As we mature, as we grow, we need to just keep coming back to you. It's so simple, and we make it complex sometimes. We try to put rules and regulations around our faith, and sometimes we just need to remember what the simple part is of relying upon you. And worship you, and seek you, and receive from you all that we need, God. All that we need is in you. Thank you, God. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.